Today we're going to be looking at someone who had a fair amount of energy himself, even though he had a human body like ourselves. We're going to have a look at Jesus, the man of zeal. Let's say a short prayer before we get into the scriptures. Holy Father God, as we today look at some scriptures about Jesus, some scriptures about ourselves, God, please just open up our hearts to who He was and who we need to be. And God, we love You, we desire to be like You. And I think like we've heard already this morning, there's so much challenge in our hearts and in our lives. And God, our prayer is that the scriptures will inspire us this morning. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. So before we get into Jesus, what exactly is zeal? It's a nice word, and yet it's funny, if you look it up in the dictionary, even the people who write dictionaries struggle to come up with like a nice, clean definition. And they spit out all kinds of different words, that it's great energy and enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause. Enthusiastic devotion, tireless diligence, eagerness to accomplish something. When you have zeal, you have passion, energy, and motivation. Now, some of you might already be feeling tired. But what does zeal actually look like? Well, let's take it away from the spiritual for a few seconds. What does zeal look like to a teenager who loves to play computer games? Okay? For those of you guys, I know, you know, I see Neil, I see Warren. What is the longest you guys have ever spent playing computer games, just with a few little breaks here and there for food and for the toilet? How long was that? Warren? Should I ask your parents? 6 hours, if you didn't hear that at the back. And sometimes as parents, you can look at your teenager and say, there's no zeal. There's zeal for something if you can spend 6 hours playing computer games. I can tell you that much. What does zeal look like for a student? Well, some of you are students. Some of you, maybe it was a little while ago, but have you ever been in a situation, for those of you who are studying, where you have 5 days of stuff that you need to study and you've only got 2 days to do it? Okay? That 2 days is what zeal looks like. Study, study, coffee. Study, study, coffee. Study, study, coffee. Food, toilet. Study, study. That is zeal. Maybe some of you, again, let me not generalize too much, but maybe some of you, the wives in the audience, have seen your husbands go off to sports games in the rain. And you're like, it's raining. Watch it on TV. The thing that motivates them to go there in the rain is something called zeal. And one of the things about zeal is sometimes we can get a little bit mixed up about what it looks like. Zeal is not energy, rah! You're an extrovert and you're just shouting and you're just like a live wire energy bunny. Okay? That can also be zeal. But sometimes the most zeal is shown by the quiet people, who, without attracting attention to themselves, are able to persevere and push forward and strive ahead. And I think I've seen it. I'm taking some time this year to study, which is a great privilege for me. And I've seen zeal in my studies. I've seen how, I'll be able to work through the night without even necessarily thinking twice. Just all of a sudden, it's 2 o'clock, and it's not that I have a hand in the next day. I've learned that lesson that, you know, I just get so consumed with it, asking advice, checking papers that I need to hand in, and rechecking and rechecking. It's just, I see it so clearly, reading. I've got lots of readings, lots of readings, lots of readings. And it's just, you know, I see the zeal in my heart, maybe a little different than when I was at school. I want to do it. There's a zeal there. I see zeal in my relationship with my family. I just love them so much. I think about them all the time. I read books about family. I listen to lessons about family. I don't know if you experience this, but at about 1 o'clock, virtually every day, I start missing my family. And I started thinking, man, is there just some excuse for me to be able to go home early and hang out with my family? It's just something that happens. And where does it come from? There's zeal, there's energy, there's vitality for those things. See, in my relationship with God, just a desperately desire to please God, and it doesn't always work out so well. But there is zeal. I've prayed through the night many times, fasted many days, given away lots and lots of money, like Cedric. I love telling my kids about Him. I love teaching about God. It's just read through the Bible many times, some books multiple times. There's just zeal in my heart. Have a look in John chapter 2 here. We're going to have a look at Jesus, the man of zeal. In verse 13, it reads as follows. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, He found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, He said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to Him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple He had spoken of was His body. After He was raised from the dead, His disciples recalled what He had said. Then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. You know, when it came to honoring God, Jesus was a man of zeal. You know, it's interesting, this kind of little setup here, where it was a Jewish Passover. Very big deal for the Jewish people at the time. There was a lot of, without going into too much detail, there was a lot of animal sacrifices going on. There was a lot of dedications to God going on. And what had happened was the Jews were kind of quite spread out over the Mediterranean. And they would come to Jerusalem. If there was a day to be in Jerusalem, it was the Passover. And they would come to Jerusalem in order to offer their sacrifices. Now, this was all kind of written down in the Law of Moses, and it was all kind of laid out quite neatly. But a lot of time had passed since the Torah was written. And so what happened was the Jews were ruled by the Romans at that point in time. Years had passed. There'd been a number of extra rules and laws and different things added. And so what you have is you have the pilgrims coming to Jerusalem. Instead of necessarily bringing their animal sacrifice with them from home, they could bring cash in their pocket and they could buy one at the temple. Now, there was another kind of transaction that was going on. So there was obviously people selling. There was another transaction going on that people had to pay a temple tax. And the Roman currency at the time had an inscription on it of the Roman emperor. And to the Jews, that was a bit of a problem, that it was kind of a little mini idol that you'd carry around in your pocket. And so there would be money changers that you can exchange your Roman money with a picture of the emperor on for a Tyrian shekel, which was kind of the Hebrew money. And then you could use that to pay your tax. So as you can imagine, there was a lot of business going on. I mean, buying and selling of animals, and if you were rich, you'd buy a cow, and if you were poor, you'd buy a dove, and you'd get your money for the temple tax. And Jesus walked in, and as you can imagine, with that amount of money being exchanged, there's always room for a bit of corruption. And He walked in, and He looked at this, and He was like, "Oh my word. I mean, this is a house of prayer. This is the holiest day, the holiest weekend in the entire Jewish calendar. People travel hundreds of miles to be here, and it's been turned into a flea market. And you just see this kind of this emotion welling up in his heart. And it says there that he fashioned a whip out of cords. And it says he drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. I think when I initially used to read this passage, I used to think it was sheep, cattle, and people. Okay? I'm sure some of the people left, but we definitely know that he wasn't happy about the sheep and the cattle and the doves. People, you know, they obviously still had to sacrifice some of their, to make their sacrifices. But there was a zeal, there was an energy, there was a passion. It was like, get this out! You are turning my father's house into a den of thieves. He overturned tables, scattered things, let the doves out of their little cages, and his disciples looked and said, man, it reminded them of Psalm 69, where it says, zeal for your house will consume me. You know, it's interesting. We can have, and I think God's okay with that, we can have many interests, hobbies, things that we're passionate about, things that excite us. But the number one thing that needs to get our heart going is zeal for the house of the Lord. And you know, the passage goes on and people question, Jesus, why are you allowed to do this? And he said, listen, this temple will be destroyed and I will raise it in 3 days. And you can see they're obviously a little bit confused by it. But he was obviously, as he stated right there, he was talking about himself. Have a look in Isaiah chapter 9. You know, there's no doubt that Jesus possessed much zeal for God and much zeal for us. I mean, you don't really need to read through the Gospels for very long to see his energy, his motivation, his drive. But have a look in here, in Isaiah chapter 9 at God's zeal for us. And it's such a wonderful passage, written 750 years before Christ. It was written about Jesus. And it says there in verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You know, God has so much passion for us that he sent his son to come and establish a kingdom that was not ruled by earthly laws. You can see the people of the time, they didn't understand what Jesus was doing politically because it didn't make sense. But Jesus wasn't interested in politics. He was interested in our hearts. And God's zeal resulted in him making a plan so that no matter what your economic situation is, no matter where you live, no matter what your background is, that you can have a place in his kingdom. You know, having passion and energy for the things of God is a requirement for us. It's not a nice thing for those who have the extra energy with all the busyness of their days. And just to call out to the young, you have a lot of the zeal naturally. When you get a little bit older, like some of that natural energy and that natural zeal can go away as our bodies get a little bit tighter and it's a little bit harder to keep the weight off. But I want to ask you, now that you have so much of it naturally, use it for the things of God. In Proverbs 23, verse 17, it's powerful. It says, do not, and this is to you, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. One of the things that certainly happens over time, as you look around, is you realize that a sinful life does not give you the things that you want. When you're younger, you still do think that. And you'll look around and you'll see other people put their zeal into things that gain them money, that gain them status. Don't envy them. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord. You know, Jesus was pretty ticked off with the Pharisees' kind of version of righteousness. And he looked at the temple and there's all this trade going on and it made him mad. And there are a couple of great passages in the Bible where you see Jesus' zeal kind of well up. He was the Prince of Peace. We just read about that. But when it came to God's honor, there was a lot of emotion. In Matthew 23, it'll come up on the screen. He was talking to these same groups of people and he said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides. You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. What is Jesus saying here without getting into all of his imagery? He's saying what the world needs, what he's saying to us, what the world needs is not more people zealous to go to church, zealous to give their contribution, zealous to have a small group in their home. The world needs more men and women who are zealous for justice, zealous for righteousness, for faithfulness. You know what? When you're a kid, and I've got kids, for them, I'm kind of just happy that they're happy to go to church. I don't know if you've kind of been through that before. It's like, if they're happy to go to church as a five-year-old, as a two-year-old, then I'm very happy. But you know what? When you grow up, that stops being enough. As God gives you maturity, as he gives you increasing strength, increasing minds, increasing hearts, it's just not enough. You need to start standing up for justice at school, at university, for righteousness, for faithfulness. I think of our wonderful Tehila Kids Club program. The majority of the kids that the Kids Club caters for are in primary school. What is holding a teenager back from saying, whoa, I'll arrange something for these kids? In your community, life has been hard on most of the kids that we serve in Tehila, if not all of them. What's holding a teenager back from saying, man, you know what? I can help a five-year-old. I don't need to be asked. Sign me up. Our hearts need to burn for social justice. If you look at Jesus, at school, who's looking out for the lonely? Who's looking out for those that are bullied? Do you stand up for righteousness at school, at university, for the people who have no friends? Or do you go and join the crowd and laugh at them? The world doesn't need more people like that. Have a look in Isaiah 59 at how God feels when he sees injustice. Man, Isaiah was a great prophet. I'd love to meet him one day. I don't know how kind of the afterlife all works, but hope I can take him for a coffee. Verse 15. Of Isaiah 59. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as his cloak. He wrapped himself in zeal. Looked around and he saw there was no one standing up for those that needed someone to stand up for them. And so he wrapped himself in zeal for justice. You know, teens, school isn't an easy place to be a disciple. I'll be the first one to say that. And sometimes you can be waiting for something to change. You can be waiting, man, I want to wait until I'm at university. Maybe there'll be more disciples around and I won't be so lonely. Or man, you know what? If someone else stands up, then I'll stand up with them. Well, maybe God wants you to be that one. Maybe God's calling you to be that hero. I don't know, maybe, you know, you're a little bit older than the teens and the campus students and some of the young singles. And maybe you're in a position where you've got a little less energy than you had when you're at school and a little bit more money than you had when you're at school. Well, you're still called to be zealous for God. Just because your life has some added complexity doesn't mean that you're not called to be zealous. Isn't Phineas an example? Isn't it wonderful to see him? And we won't go into the whole story, Numbers 25, if you haven't read it before. But when everyone else was compromising, and I'm sure you've been in situations at work like that, you look around, everyone else is compromising. What did Phineas do? He said, no ways. I'm not going down that route. He had zeal for the honor of God, and he acted. And it says there in Numbers 25, verse 10, the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites since he was as zealous for my honor among them as I am. It's our call. You know, some of us, we had maybe a little bit more zeal in our younger days. And as time went on and as energy, got sort of pulled into a lot of different directions, and you look at 6 hours of computer gaming and you think, you know, how on earth does anyone find 6 hours to do anything? I want to ask you a question. As you get older, your faith increases, your love increases, your hope increases, and it's from those things that your zeal must increase. That zeal is not something reserved for the young. Zeal is something reserved for all of us. You know, I appreciate Mark and Joan. I know Cedric was sharing about the one-year challenge. It's a lot easier to get someone who's just finished college, has no family responsibilities, no financial responsibilities, it's a lot easier to sign up to give a year of your life to serve the ministry. Not so easy if you've got children and grandchildren, you own a business, you have a very busy ministry to take care of. And I appreciate Mark and John just literally saying, hey, if the campus students, who some of them been disciples for a couple of years, can give up a year of their life, why can't I? I'm older. I'm more mature. I've got more faith, more love, more zeal. Let me give up a year of my life, no matter how inconvenient it is. Appreciate you guys so much. I know you must be in here somewhere. Look at Caleb, Joshua 14. You don't have to turn there. It says, now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he had said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Caleb, 85 years old, ready to grab onto the Lord's promises. What are you waiting for? You know, church, if you want to grow in your zeal, you might feel like, man, you know, I'm just not feeling so zealous, and I know what that feels like. Well, I've got some good news for you. It's not that hard to grow in your zeal. Okay? One of the things, and this is a very simple thing, sometimes you just need to choose it. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation as a parent. You're tired. It's been a long day. You've got a gazillion things on your mind. And you arrive home and your kids don't care about your business meetings. They just want to hang out with you. It's at that point that you get to make a choice. I am tired. That's a given. Do I engage or do I withdraw? Easy for me to put on a DVD, sit on my phone, try and put my feet up, have a cup of coffee. It's a choice. It's a choice to be zealous for the things that mean the most for you. And coming to church, it's the same. Sometimes we just need to choose to be zealous. Sometimes, and it's funny being up on stage, you know, it's I can see those who kind of check out. Give the 1,000-mile stare, like... But sometimes it's just a choice to say, man, you know what? I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed, but I'm going to engage. When I hear something that I agree with, I'm going to say amen. I'm going to engage. I'm going to sing with all of my heart. I'm going to choose that route. Sometimes it's just a choice. Don't have to make it too complicated. Pray for zeal. Something about arriving at work and you know that there's going to be gossip and you know that there's going to be difficulties ahead. People say, God, fill me with zeal for your honor. It's not going to be easy today. Pray for zeal. Have a look in Romans chapter 12. We're going to close out with this passage here. You know, sometimes when you read about zeal in the Bible, it gets a little bit confusing. Maybe if you're working in the library, you're like, oh my goodness, someone's going to come and turn over the book table and kick over the money, and this is a den of robbers. Why are you selling books in the church? Sometimes we can struggle a little bit with our interpretations of what Jesus was actually getting up to. And, you know, if you want to be technical, if there was a temple that needed to be cleared out in the new covenant, church is not necessarily that temple. You are that temple. But let's not try and get too technical here. I think Phineas, if you look at Phineas and if you know that story well, you'll realize why I didn't spend too much time trying to expand on it. Because Phineas's kind of MO most probably wouldn't work so well today. I think it's the same with Caleb. I mean, you can try and kind of stand on the top of Table Mountain and claim it as your hill country, but we'll be having to bail you out of prison for that. So what does zeal look like for you at school, for you at work, for you on campus? What is this supposed to look like? Have a look in Romans 12, and we're going to close out with this. It says in verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Not just the young, all of us. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, It's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, church, the world needs more heroes. Not sports heroes. We got enough of those already. The world needs spiritual heroes. People who read passages like this and say, sign me up. Sign me up. Because Jesus was a man of zeal, and so are his followers. Amen. Let's